In today's episode, we talk about RoboCop and Rambo and Cuban sandwiches for some reason. This is Funsphere Movie Club.
We have 3 minutes to figure out everything about RoboCop.
I watched...
It's been like a decade since I've seen it.
There's... His face shows up in the end. Or, you know, he starts to... His humanity. He's like, look at my face. And I thought he never should have opened his helmet.
Miguel Fair. He passed away recently.
Miguel. Oh.
He was in Twin Peaks.
Oh, Miguel?
As Albert.
Yeah. I think almost so many people from Twin Peaks are dead now. Somebody died the other day. Oh, the composer. Angelo. What's his name? Bar. Angelo Badalamenti. Anyway, RIP.
Sounds Italian.
He sounds like disgusting.
So have you seen David Lynch is doing his own like social media checkups?
What?
It's like I came across it on YouTube, but he'll just do like he reads the weather.
Oh, that's great.
But it's very new.
Oh. Yeah, we'll watch that tonight. I want to mention that. Yeah, we watched Eraserhead the other night.
Okay.
Sure is a film.
Still haven't seen that.
Sure is
a film. It certainly is a film. You know what else is a film, Samantha?
RoboCop.
It is, yes, you're correct.
No, it's a game.
It is a game. Several games, actually.
It can't be both.
It's Judge Dredd.
Ooh, that is also technically a film. Although, all right, well, just real quick, welcome to Funsphere Movie Club. Hi, I'm Josh.
Hi, I'm Mike.
I'm Josh and Samantha at the same time.
It's like cat dog.
How's it possible? I am man and machine.
Which one of us is a machine?
Samantha. You don't want to know.
You don't want to know. All right. So, today we are talking about RoboCop.
RoboCop.
And I'll just say this. I love this movie so much. It's one of these movies. I saw it way too early as a kid. Yes, way too early as a kid. And I've seen all the sequels, and I pretty much despise them. Although I will go to bat for RoboCop 2. but as I have gotten older, where other action movies from this time and have definitely shown their age, and like I kind of view them as more goofy now that I go on, RoboCop is just the one that just keeps getting better and better to me. And I think you not to sound artsy fartsy, but you appreciate it on more and more levels the older you get, and when you think back to history and things like that. So
I will say they had an interesting spin on like putting in some heavy story things with like the most grotesque shit I'd ever seen. And that's what I thought was remarkable about, I know that I've seen like big bits and pieces of it as a kid.
Yeah.
And it's kind of weird how your brain just filters that out.
Yes.
Because I went back and saw it for the first time, it was probably like a decade ago,
okay.
And I was disgusted with
me shoot like, off this your is, hand.
I hate this.
I mean, the movie itself, the director, Paul Verhoeven, who Mike has mentioned before, he loves Starship Troopers that he did. This movie is...
I didn't say I loved it. I said that that was something he did.
That was something he did. But this movie has been, from its inception, a satirical look at the action movie and the time period that it's done. But I can freely admit it, I still love it as a dumb action movie, too. Like, there are times I'll watch it and I'll see all the satire involved, and other times I'm like, RoboCop just shot that dude in the dick. And that was
Did
awesome.
Did you guys watch that video?
Yes, I saw it. They went a little too... Like, I know the rule of three.
But that is... Like, even that is satire that really shows what that movie was.
Yeah.
Like, it was grotesque.
All right, so Mike is mentioned that he thinks the movie is grotesque. Samantha, what are your quick thoughts on the film?
Definitely gross. Okay. I always like when there's like stop motion effects. Yes. I always appreciate that in a film. Okay. And I thought that guy was really
the budget
really
seems
ugly.
Like it was great.
Yeah.
Wait, which guy? Which
RoboCop guy when he took his. When his, you know, his human face is there, I hated it. I thought he should have left his visor on the whole time. I did watch. What
are you saying? Peter Weller, the actor, is not a handsome man in your opinion?
I'm saying he's ugly.
Okay.
I don't care if he's dead or old. He's ugly.
He's not dead.
I know, but last time I called someone ugly, you're like, she's dead, and how do you feel about it?
Is there any relationship to Frank Weller?
I don't think so, although Mr. Peter Weller has also been in movies like Buckaroo Banzai.
Never heard of it. Skid loves that movie.
Yeah, he's in
any relationship to Weller, the soldering iron brand?
I think that's where the family derives its name, yes. They have a history from that.
Oh,
but
so he's a nepo baby.
I'll say this, he's also a very prominent voice actor and television actor. I love him.
So is Frank Weller.
Yes. Welker. Yes, you're right. Yes, Welker. Yes, Welker, actually.
Is it Welker?
Yeah,
Welker.
Yeah.
That's why I didn't say anything at first. I was like, yeah, I'll just let him run with it. But I'll say this, every time I see him or hear him, I go, that's RoboCop. Every time I'm like, oh, it's RoboCop. So, Mike, you may recall this. Samantha, I'm pretty sure this is before you were born. Do you remember the animated series for RoboCop?
No, but that sounds even worse.
So, there was a trend in the late 80s / very early 90s of adapting R-rated, and RoboCop was almost X-rated due to its violence. Movies that have absolutely no child should see into animated series to sell toys and things like that and to teach kids lessons. We had Rambo, specifically after First Blood Part 2, which has always confused me as a title. We had RoboCop. We had Aliens. All these were animated series /
I remember Aliens.
I can remember the RoboCop game.
Yes, there were several.
I don't ever remember an animated series with it.
I don't think it was on for very long. Yep.
Alright, this guy's not as ugly as I thought, but like he looked really ugly with like half robot helmet.
Well, no, that was supposed to be like a Darth Vader taking off the helmet. There's so little human in him left.
Yeah, yeah, I get it's like, oh, like, okay, I did watch like some analysis video after it, and I'm like, oh, that's a nice little thing they've got going on about humanity and like rebuilt without any control, and then he's rebuilt on his own terms and blah, blah at the end, but I still thought he looked dumb.
So here's, I'm looking through this because I'm trying to real quickly find, I know there's been, all right, there were three films in the original trilogy. There was the 2014 reboot. There was, let's see here. The animated TV series. There was a 1994 live action TV series and a 1998 animated TV series. I don't think I've seen that one. And okay, hang on a second. I'm trying to find the games. So, Mike, you mentioned there was an NES game at one point. I remember vividly the, I want to say it was Data East arcade game, because it had sound samples from the actual movie. And I will always remember Dead or Alive, You're Coming With Me, because he says it a lot. And there were a bunch of, or not a bunch, I'm trying to remember how many exactly. Did you play RoboCop versus Terminator on SNES?
No.
Oh, that was a good game.
But I did play that Aerosmith game.
Revolution X.
It sounds like the same thing.
Oh, that's cool. Except that game was trash, man. Like, in hindsight, I was like, how broke were they that they needed to license their cells to a game?
Oh. They're not even a roller coaster at a Epcot anymore.
No, that was a good roller coaster, though. I liked
it. It's now Guardians of the Galaxy.
Oh, probably would like that more.
Wait, I thought they took the Twilight Zone ride too.
That's in California. It's still Tower of Terror at Epcot.
Thank God.
There's at least one.
It's so, I liked the Guardians of the Galaxy one because I went on because it was like you're terrified of dying on this, but every once in a while Rocket comes out and says something funny. And then it's like, haha, you get to get some relief from the terror. And then it's like, psych.
Did you guys ever watch the ABC Sunday night movie, Tower of Terror?
Oh, yeah. That was also on Disney Channel with Gutenberg.
Wow. I haven't heard that name in a long time.
Yeah. Dad.
I just imagine the Stonecutters finally lost their sway in society and no longer could make him a star. I was going to say, I think...
Cats are still going at it.
Diane's crazy now, and they're chasing each other. Also, I heard Skid antagonizing.
Skid is often antagonizing.
He was like, you guys are in a lull. This will spice things up.
All right, so... back to RoboCop, because it's awesome. How many, like, 80s, 90s TV stars did you notice are in this movie, and you were surprised to see them?
We noticed Albert from Twin Peaks.
Yep.
Yeah, also, I don't recognize anybody, but I was looking on IMDb, and I see that I should have recognized a lot of these people.
Yes. Albert is correct. Also, what's Laura Bailey? Oh my God! What's the girl again? Laura Palmer's
Ray Wise.
Yeah, her dad is also in RoboCop. And then the absolute star of the movie, as far as I'm concerned, is a Mr. Kurtwood Smith, who of course was in Rambo 3, but also in that 70s show, and delivers the absolute best line in the movie.
He's also, oh my God, I'm not going to remember his name, but the vending machine from Regular Show.
Yes. I will say this, it delivers the best line that I use all the time in my life. Bitches leave when you walk into a room. Just... use that. Feel free to use that out there in the world, folks. You'll find it opens a lot of doors for you if you just
especially
walk into a room.
When men say it.
Yes, yes. Or women can use it too. That's perfectly fine.
No, it doesn't have the same punch.
You don't think so?
When a When a woman...
How about dicks leave?
If a woman says bitches leave, it's like, we're just talking about other girls.
I'm just saying you can say bitches leave and it means anyone of any gender can leave the room.
No, I'm just saying. It doesn't sound as mean.
When you walk into a room, say bitches leave, and then blow up the entire room with a grenade after you deliver a death message / on CD / Laserdisc. I'm not sure which one it was because it was the 1980s and they were trying
Laserdisc.
I would almost say it's Laserdisc.
It was a DVD. Awesome. Diane.
Yep.
Diane Video Disc.
Diane, but, like, very bad. Decat.
So, something else I really like about this movie that I think about from time to time is how much time and energy the production crew had to spend on making all the news reports and commercials and fake TV shows that are playing in the background of this movie.
Well, that was my favorite part of the entire movie, was the dude that always kept going like, I'd buy that for a dollar.
Yes, there's that. There's TJ Laser, the show. I mean, they only show like one clip, but it's like, that totally could have been a real TV show back in the day. And like I said, the news reports, those are great because they are like so perfectly acted like real news reports of the time.
Those are the kind of things that I have always believed pay off in the end whenever you take that extra effort, because it's like world building.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like Pete and Pete, the reason Pete and Pete is so magical is not the everyday episode. It's the fact that they came up with all these like little tiny Easter eggs that they scattered throughout the entire show.
Yes, I agree wholeheartedly.
Or, I mean, Parks and Rec was a huge one for that kind of stuff. Like, whatever you build your Bible, you're in a better place.
Yeah. Yeah, I love that. But then Alan Wake does that, too. They got a TV show.
Yep.
Twin Peaks have the soap opera that is Twin Peaks parody of a soap opera until it just became a soap opera. But then there's that soap opera.
Yes. So... I'll just say this, like we mentioned to it and Mike mentioned it, the violence is dialed up to 25 out of 10 on this movie on purpose. And a fun little
which I get.
Yeah,
it's just I don't know, I think it's my own weird, I just don't like to see it.
I don't like to see it happen. I like to see
the
like
artful
crime scenes.
Way of it. Yeah, where they like somebody goes in a room with a sinister face.
Yeah.
They cut to a shot outside and you hear the gunshot.
That's scary.
That kind of stuff. Like, it will, I think it's just a more palatable way of seeing that stuff. Like, I don't take any kind of enjoyment out of any of that kind of violence.
No.
I know it exists.
Yeah.
And
I think when you
like, I want to be educated on that kind of shit, but I don't want to see like somebody pump 60 bullets into a body.
Yeah, I don't like it either.
So the fact it's like cartoonish, buffoonish, and like overrated doesn't.
Yeah, I mean, all right. So we were talking about Castlevania, and I keep trying to watch the Castlevania show.
Okay.
And that's something that I don't enjoy either. Like, it's just, like, it's gore to be gore. There's no... There's a line that it crosses between, like, does it really add to the story, or do you just want to show off for some reason?
Yeah,
and that's that's kind of what I got from... Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I like, What did I describe it once as? Penny Dreadful is really gory, but you don't see a lot of, but I don't like seeing the knife slit somebody's throat. I enjoy the body afterwards.
Okay.
Land there with this, like, artful. It's pretty. It's like.
I would say the same stuff with the sex scenes, too. Like,
sex scenes are getting.
You don't want to see the whole thing. It's like. You get it, what they're doing. You don't have to show
it. I'm getting
Mike,
so
Mike wants
annoyed
tasteful
with
nudity.
Sex scenes. Well, my problem with sex scenes now is it feels like they're just being used as filler. Like, they could be advancing
exactly.
the plot. Instead, they're going to spend 10 minutes on this sex scene. Occasionally, there's one that I feel is like, if it fits in the flow of the story, so it's fine. But, like, it's getting to the point where, like, we're going to show it because we can, and also because we want to drag this plot point out till next week. So
here. We have to hit a 50-minute mark.
Oh, now, that is actually a very good point on that. I haven't really... there are plenty of shows now that I'm, like, in hindsight, I'm thinking, oh, yeah, that totally is why.
Well, and the big thing with nudity, too, is you'll start to notice it shows up the most in the first couple episodes.
Yep.
Of the first couple of seasons of shows.
To get the pervs hooked.
Yep. Yep, and then it...
You're not fooling anybody, so stop...
Yeah. Like,
stop teasing.
Like, resorting to that cheap tactic.
Like, you can tell, too, when it just thinking of House of the Dragons, I'm pretty sure we're all themed, like, Game of Thrones anyway.
Yeah.
The only time I think that was sort of necessary was in maybe episode... Whatever they were both in the... I'm gonna be vague. Whenever they were both in the brothel. Like, that seemed kind of like an important character moment. Almost every other time, it's just like, oh, we gotta, here.
we had time to fill.
Yeah. It's
in her contract, it said she was supposed to be nude 4 times. Yeah. So we gotta use each of those 4 times.
Ugh. Yeah, sometimes violence feels like that. But also, that's why some people watch movies like that. I've never... RoboCop isn't as bad as, like, Hostel or Saw, maybe, where it's, like, torture porn.
Yeah.
But...
Like I said, I think I have no problem dealing with, like, this cartoonish violence, just because, one, it's awesome in this movie. And like I said, you know, growing up in the 80s, these were things that we saw like in every other movie. But I'm also, I'll admit this, I am super squeamish when like real life crime stuff like that. Like, I can't watch like the first 48 or like listen to those true crime podcasts. That stuff skeeves me out.
Oh man, those put me right to sleep.
Oh.
That's how I fall asleep to Dateline.
We truly are three very different people.
We certainly are. We certainly are.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, I guess you just, I thought when you said squeamish, I thought you were going to say, because another thing, reason even the over-the-top cartoony kind is like,
yeah.
I can't eat and watch this. Grosses me out.
I was totally eating my lunch while watching this movie today.
I get that they're trying to be inventive with the, like, cinematography wise. They're trying to think of ways that, like, how can we showcase this kind of violence in a way that hasn't been seen before? So I admire the ambition. I didn't like it from pencil.
Okay.
Like, the initial idea, it's not something that I gravitate towards
now,
normally.
May I ask a question, Mike? Do you pick up on the satire in the world itself of how desensitized the people
Absolutely.
In that world are to the violence? Like,
I would argue that there's a way that you can sell that message without showing that. That's like the lowest common denominator's way of describing that kind of environment.
Oh.
And Starship Troopers is the same kind of thing. Like, they could have told the same story.
Yeah.
And not done it the way that they did it. They just, like, one, they're leaning on it as a crutch, and two, they're trying to appeal to a wider audience.
We watched Brazil last night, but that has a little bit of gore, like a tiny bit, but they were just like, cause there's like all these terrorist attacks happening, and there's a scene in a restaurant, like a really fancy restaurant, and like part of it blows up, but everybody who wasn't hit by it, like the band starts playing again, and then the table with the main character and his mom and all her friends, they just keep talking like nothing happened, and then
I've
at
never
one point
actually I've never seen that all the way through.
Oh, it's pretty weird.
I've heard, like, it's good.
Yeah, I told Skid last night, I was like, right now I don't know what to feel, but I feel like once this movie marinates in my brain a little bit, I'll like it a lot.
Gotcha.
It's very strange.
Actually, Josh, you brought it up earlier, but I just saw Rambo for the first time.
Okay.
Like 2 weeks ago.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, and I had no idea that that's what that movie was about.
Now,
I grew up with Rambo.
Now, you grew up with Rambo First Blood Part 2 and stuff like that. Are you saying you saw the very first Rambo? First Blood? I love that movie.
I assumed it was an army movie.
No, it's a great... it is honestly... It's one that I have also come to appreciate more and more over time of, like, this was really well acted and, like, pretty... daring at the time to bring up the story about, like, post traumatic stress for Vietnam vets, because I think that movie was made in like 81, 82. I can't remember right off the top of my head, but it's like pretty much right after.
So Rambo, I just assume, because we grew up with Rambo as like a character, So the story of the first one was he's just a Vietnam vet passing through town, gets stopped by a cop, and it ends up into this, like, they keep telling him to get out of town, and he's looking for a friend, right?
Yes. Well, actually, he found his friend. He was literally just passing through town. He wanted to get something to eat.
Yeah, and he gets treated with such animosity that he gets creeped out, and the cops get creeped out. So then it becomes like a manhunt against this dude.
And it escalates just because if they just treated him like a human being and not harassed him, none of this would have had to happen. But
yeah, but since he's battling with the PTSD, like, he keeps getting... It's like a fight or flight situation that he gets in, and so he reacts in a way that probably isn't great. And so everything keeps escalating the other. So it was
stressful.
A lot better of a movie than I thought it would be.
Yes.
I just went in thinking, like, all right, yeah, it's Rambo. It's a invincible army guy.
Wait, how are there sequels?
He gets...
I'm just as curious because I haven't seen them.
Oh, I've seen them. Okay.
I plan on seeing them. Don't spoil
them. I won't. I'll just say that he's captured at the end of the first one, so that's where you go from there.
Oh.
But unfortunately, in 2-3, he does become a one-man
army.
They
do... There is a dude that he... It's what? His old boss?
Yeah.
Or his old CO?
Yeah.
Mentions that, like, don't fuck with him. He is
way beyond
he's a super weapon.
Yeah.
So I can imagine where it does end up.
You know, it's funny you mention like the transition from Rambo 1 to Rambo 2. RoboCop also has that. You know, this also has the detective angle of, like, he's solving his own murder and you find the corruption. So there's almost a crime noir type feel to this movie too. And then of course the second one and third one just become action films. I'm gonna bring up another one, Mike, since we're probably not gonna cover these. Have you seen Terminator 1? Okay.
I have.
Alright, so
I've seen more of 2 than 1.
So 2 like is a huge action movie. I will say it's probably the best action movie ever made. But Terminator 1 is a horror film. The Terminator is stalking them and chasing them, and it's like that's the horror aspect of it, where it's not a huge action movie. There are action scenes, but they're not really, it's not the point. So it's funny you mentioned that these movies, the first ones will often have like a very different feel, and then they just kind of got, monetized and used up. And I think it's really kind of disingenuous to all the first ones because they all had a point. of like, this is more than just a action movie in the movie itself and the way it's made. So
that's what
I just, oh, go ahead.
Sequels always is kind of like, we're like a bummer after a while because they just undo everything in the first one. Like oftentimes the love interest won't come back. And then there's like, so you were rooting for them the whole time for no reason, or like all everything just sucks. That's why I'm glad we're watching How to Train Your Dragon, because that was a full story they were telling the whole time.
No spoilers. That episode hasn't come out yet.
Well, don't want... you can mute now. It has. You can mute me. You have the power.
No,
I do.
All right. So I just had this realization.
Okay.
So this seems to have been a common thread throughout 70s and 80s cinema. It was also a common thread in 80s video games.
Okay.
Like, look at how dramatic the sequels were, like a dramatic departure for all of the NES sequels. Mario 2, Zelda 2.
Yeah. It's just...
So do you think that they were influenced? Everything else that was made in games seemed to have been influenced by what was going on in cinema.
That is a very good point. I think they did go... Games eventually did go to a format of, I'm just going to play it safe and give you the same game again, just with a slightly new story, but you're not going to be... You don't want to change the formula all that much anymore. I think
of course, money found a way.
Yes.
But at least in those early times, they found the room to experiment, and maybe they took more creative departures. Whether they worked out in the end or not. Castlevania 2, another example.
Yep. I will say this. Sometimes that is a good thing, though. There are some series, movies, and games that make a adjustment in the sequel, and then they like the adjustment they made in the sequel so much, they just keep going forward with that. So it can work. You don't necessarily have to be beholden to the very first thing that was done in the game. Or in the movies, stuff like that.
Yeah, I think as long as it feels like a believable evolution, and not just like, this happens now because we couldn't get this, so now this is happens. Now this is the way it is. That this thing is gone now forever. You know, like just like slapshod.
Okay. I was like, is she going to say slap shot? Is she going to say slap stick? I was like, she's getting there. Slap shot. It's great.
You know, just this pile of hay turned into a movie. That's what a lot of the sequels for a while, like 80s movie sequels and even 90s felt like. Unless it was part of like a larger ongoing story. Back to the Future 2 is a noted exception, but I feel like it's an exception that proves the rule because it was good, and then the third one was whatever. But I just remember for the longest time that there was no point in getting excited for a sequel, even though you're going to watch it, because it's just going to make you feel bad.
Okay.
Empire? Do you include Empire in that?
No,
I don't. Not
I would say Empire is the best sequel.
No, I said because that's an ongoing story.
Yeah.
So just like.
Well, Back to the Future was an ongoing story.
Was it? I thought they were kind of done, and then they just sort of set up room for a sequel.
Well, with the magic of time travel, the entire premises, I guess, of the movie, you can always keep going back.
Well, then I guess I take it back. Back to the Future doesn't count either.
I will say this, like, there's one movie I always point to as being somehow better than the first one, and, like, leagues and leagues and leagues better than the third one, and it's not Star Wars, it's The Godfather. I think The Godfather Part 2 is maybe, it is my favorite movie. And it might actually be, I could make an argument that it's right up there with Citizen Kane and stuff like that as maybe one of the best movies ever made and the best story ever made.
Man.
And then it just, the third one, oh God, so bad.
I cannot hear the name Citizen Kane without thinking, because we went to a screening of it at the Nighthawk in Brooklyn, and they had in that theater, you know, Cuban sandwiches?
Yes.
That, but in egg rolls.
Ugh!
No, it was so good. It was amazing. And they don't have them on the menu anymore. So every time I hear the name of Citizen Kane, I can taste those, and I'm very sad because I know I'll never have them again.
So,
there was no egg roll filling. It was just in an egg roll wrapping. It wasn't egg roll filling and Cuban sandwich.
Your takeaway
that setup just made me think that the whole theater got distributed these
funky-smelling
sandwiches.
No. They were,
and then you had to sit through all of Citizen Kane smelling.
No,
them.
They were. I actually couldn't smell them anyway because they were in an egg roll shell, and it was so good. Oh my God!
So your biggest takeaway from seeing what many people will argue is the greatest film of all time was, man, that was a good sandwich I had there that night.
No, egg roll with sandwich filling and cheesy tater tots.
That's like something out of The Simpsons, I swear it is.
It was a very good movie, but that food was just so good. That is all that, like, it's like a Pavlovian.
I just see Samantha on her deathbed dropping the snow globe saying, Cuban egg rolls.
Yep.
I could just see it, like, I see The Simpsons thing where Homer's watching the film festival, and he's like, you know, Barney's movie was beautiful, but Football in the Groin had football in the groin. And she's like, man, Citizen Kane was great, but this egg roll had Cuban sandwich filling. It's great.
They're so good. I'm just looking at pictures of them.
What movie were we talking about again?
We were talking about RoboCop, but man.
Delicious.
Did we go all over the place with this one. anybody else have anything to say about this film, or are we good to call it here? Besides all agreeing that it's an awesome action film that everyone should see,
I think it's worth watching. I think it's like a.
It is worth watching.
It's worth knowing.
It is, it certainly is, and so I guess we'll call it there. I'm glad that we came to a consensus on this film. That I love so dearly.
Yeah, so far we're at 3 for 3. All of them are worth watching.
Did we come?
I don't think we'd be watching them if they weren't.
I'm sure we'll get there eventually. But we'll just have to wait till next time. Bye.